You're listening to the BYUI Mighty Oak Series, a podcast that inspires students to reach their potential. We're sitting with alumni to talk about their college experience, opportunities they took, and how they're succeeding in their careers today.
Today on the podcast, we're excited to have Alistair McKee. Alistair McKee grew up in the United Kingdom. He graduated from Brigham Young University, Idaho, with a bachelor's degree in international studies, business, and a minor in Spanish. He got his master's degree in business administration from IESE Business School in Spain. While he was a student at BYUI, he worked in the curriculum development department. In the past 6 years, his career has taken him to Qualtrics and Google's headquarters in Mountain View, California. Alistair currently works in a consulting position at Bain & Company in the United Kingdom and is an avid supporter of Liverpool FC. We're excited to have Alistair today on the podcast. The first one was, why did you choose to come to BYU Idaho and what were you looking forward to?
It's not going to be the best answer in the world, but I came to BYU Idaho because my girlfriend at the time wanted to come to BYU Idaho.
Okay.
And I hadn't really given much thought, to be honest, to further education at that point. So I just kind of blindly chose to follow her up here. She didn't end up coming here.
Oh.
So I was kind of left here on my own, not knowing anyone. But and I met my wife, so everything was fine. And about what I was most looking forward to, I think just growing up, I think, because I left home to come to BYU Idaho. And that's, you know, going into the next phase of my life, coming into my own, figuring out life without my parents as close. That was probably what I was looking forward to the most. I didn't have too much of an opinion about school. I hadn't really thought about what I wanted to do education or career-wise. So it was more just the everything else apart from school that brought me here and that I was looking forward to be honest. Obviously, you know, my parents have always been mentors and inspiration, and I had some great professors, Brother Ivers, Brother Lamoureux. There was a lot of people that had a good impact on me. But as far as inspiration goes, and this is going to sound very fluffy, but it was my wife. When I met her, before we got really serious, I realized that at some point in the future, I was going to have to provide for family, and I got really excited about that. And so my wife was really my inspiration. And again, I know it sounds quite fluffy, and she's sitting right here next to me, but that's the truth. And that's actually something that she's continued to be throughout my career and my life. So it was her that made me realize I should really start to, you know, take my life seriously, or take my education seriously, especially.
After you left the school, what were the experiences you had with having a business degree?
Yeah, I mean, I think at BYU Idaho, as with most programs, the thing that you learn most is how to learn. So I didn't feel that when I arrived at my first job or any job, you're not thinking, I know exactly what to do because I've learned this at BYU Idaho, or I've learned this in my MBA program. But you know what you need to do to learn what to do, right?
Yeah.
And I think I was lucky, because in international studies, it's not just the science side of business. There's a lot of the humanities classes that you do as well. So you learn how to research, you learn how to think about problems and challenges from other people's points of view. And so I think BYU Idaho gives you the tools more than it gives you the answers, if that makes sense.
Yes, that does.
So yeah, I mean, I use those tools that I learned at BYU Idaho every day, but it's not so much you get there and you say, okay, you know, such and such a class taught me exactly how to do this task that I'm being presented with now.
And I think that's what scares us, college students, because we think that you learn exactly the same. At least that's what I thought.
Yeah.
But it's not like that.
I think it's better, though, because life's always changing, right? And what the skills that you need in today's jobs are going to be very different than the skills that you need in 2 years, in 4 years, 6 years, 8 years. But if you've learned how to learn, for me, it reminds me of that scripture, if you're prepared, you won't fear, right? If you've learned how to learn, it doesn't matter the changes that happen in the next 5 or 10 years, because you're equipped with the skills to be able to adapt, right? And if all you know is how to, you know, do a very, very specific thing that you learn in a very specific place on campus, and then the world's changed 2 years later, you're not going to be prepared. So I think the way that we learn, it might be a little bit scary at first, but like I say, if you learn how to learn, I think I think you'll be ready for the working world.
What was your first job after college?
I went to Qualtrics. It's a tech company in Utah. They sell survey software. Nowadays, they call it experience management software. But basically, I was hired to cold call businesses and try and make them agree to listen to our sales reps.
Okay.
But after a couple of weeks, there was a brand new department that was opening up at the company, and I got the chance to go onto that team. And basically, what we did there was manage relationships with clients. Just so that they were happy with the product, so that they knew how to use it, and so that we were able to make sure that they purchased the licenses again in the next year. Never had a class about that at BYU Idaho, right? And in most schools, you wouldn't have a class about that. But like I say, the things that I learned, especially being able to look at a situation from multiple different perspectives. I learned that in a class with Brother Ivers, where you learn about cultural paradigms. So it's the kind of thing you can apply into an account management type relationship, right? Understanding what the other person on the other side of the phone cares about and how they see things and be able to speak to that.
Looking back, what are some lessons that you learned that can help the current BYU Idaho students?
Well, I can talk about this in two different ways. How I learned to be a good student, or let's say how I learned to get good grades, let's put it that way. I always told my brothers the same thing. If you want to do well at BYU Idaho, you need to show up to every class. Not only do you have to show up to every class, there's going to be times where you don't have as much time to do a perfect job on an assignment. You have to make trade-offs in how you manage your time and whatever. But the second thing that I would have said would be to make sure you turn everything in. Even if it's not perfect, make sure you get something submitted. And lastly, and this one is kind of going to help you with the second one, make sure you take every opportunity to earn extra credit. So those are the things that I think help me as far as being a student. But after being a student, when they enter the working world, I think the things that stand out to me most is that you need to get your managers involved in your career development. And the reason for this is because typically managers want to help their employees do better because it's going to help the manager in turn, right?
Yeah.
But I learned very quickly that managers can't read your mind. And so you might be screaming out for help in a certain way, but if you don't verbalize it, the manager's never going to know. So that's one big piece of advice I'd give to students when they start their careers is make sure your manager knows how you want to develop, because if they, you know, once they know, they can give you more opportunity.
After Qualtrics, you ended up working for Google, right? What was that like?
It was a lot of fun. Google was, for a long time, like the dream for me. I would have loved to have got into a company like Google, but I always kind of thought it was a little bit out of reach. But anyways, I was able to get an offer, and I went to Google, and it was just an amazing place to work. The people around you are so intelligent, diverse, just great people to be around. But also the scale of the problems that we're working on. I mean, early in my time at Google, I was answering the phone, helping people with their advertising accounts, right? Not necessarily the most glamorous job in the world, but it was fun because those people really relied on Google and Google's products, and therefore they relied on me to be able to make the most of the money they were spending with Google. So it was quite rewarding as well. But at the same time, I think the most exciting thing about working there is you're really at the cutting edge of technological advancements in the world. And even though I personally, as a junior hire at Google, wasn't working on those things, you know, it wasn't me trying to figure out the self-driving car or anything like that. It was just cool to be around.
Yeah.
And, you know, you'd open up BBC in the morning, BBC News, and you'd see Google. And it was a very exciting thing.
What was your typical day like there?
I did a number of different roles at Google, but I'll focus on the first one because it's probably most relevant. As I mentioned, I worked with a bunch of advertisers that would call in with problems or just wanted to make their accounts perform better. So I would spend about 3 or 4 hours a day on kind of a phone shift, just waiting for the phone to ring. When it rang, I would try and solve people's problems, you know, whether their ads were disapproved or if they weren't feeling like they were getting enough of a return on their investment, how could they improve their ad performance? So I'd be on the phone for 3 or 4 hours. I'd say about 75% of the time, I'd be able to solve their problems on the phone. And the other 25% of the time, it would be something very technical or it would take me a lot more investigation to be able to give them a real answer. So the rest of my day after spending the 3 or 4 hours on the phone was spent following up on those 25% of calls that I needed to investigate further or get more people's involvement. And then at Google, there's obviously a bunch of fun projects that you're working on the side. So I was working on an alumni, people that had been on my team and had gone on to bigger and better things at Google. I was working on making a database of things, you know, advice from them and that I could share with my team. And then on top of that, there's always, you know, in any company, there's meetings and meetings and meetings, yes, and meetings about meetings. And so there was a lot of time spent in meetings as well. And then being Google, there was also a lot of time for a lot of fun stuff. Team building things. I played ping pong for about 6 hours a day, probably.
Oh, wow.
Well, not quite, but I did play quite a lot of ping pong. But yeah, that was the typical day, I suppose.
What do you love about your career now?
Well, I've been graduated for 5 years. I spent a year and a half to 2 years in an MBA program. But I think the best thing about my career now is I've had enough time, 5 years, where I can look back and start to connect dots. And, you know, you've heard the expression hindsight's 20/20. Yes. I love that now I've had enough experience to say that I feel that I'm on the right track. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of time where you're unsure if what you're doing is the right thing. You're unsure if you should be seeking out something else. I'm at the point where I've just invested a lot of money in an MBA program where I've got a lot of friends who are building their own houses and stuff. So there's always time where you're like, oh, should I have gone another route?
Yeah.
But I do feel that I'm at the point in my career where I can look back and be really pleased and proud that, you know, I've been very blessed. I've worked very hard. And it's just a really good confirmation for me that mm-hmm. I do feel like I'm on the right path. And as I look forward into the future as well, I'm able to, you know, I'm still in a position and going into a career now in management consulting where I have a lot of options. A lot of people now, 5 years out, they're very specialized in something, very specific. Yeah. But me, I'm quite general, right? In my career, I've been paid to think, and I'm going to be paid to think and try and solve a variety of problems. And so I'm really happy that I'm at a point where I still have a lot of options. And, you know, 10 years down the line, do I want to be in tech? I don't know. Do I want to be in oil and gas? Do I want to be in finance? I still have quite a lot of options, so that's probably what I'm most excited about.
And it gives you versatility as well, that. And so with all of the experiences you've had, BYU, post-BYU, working, what are some values that you live by?
Being back on campus here reminds me a lot of deferred gratification. I heard mm-hmm. the term deferred gratification a lot at BYU Idaho. And it's something that my wife and I really took to heart. We realized that our lives are an investment, and all the decisions that we make are going to have payoffs, positive or negative, in the future. And so something that I've, and my wife and I have really focused on is what can we do today to, and what should we not do today to make sure that our future is as good as possible. So that, I'd say, is one of them. I think hard work sounds very simple, but I think something that separates a lot of people is how much mm-hmm. grit they have. How yeah. well do they do when things are difficult? How much can somebody dig in and keep mm-hmm. that long-term view in mind? I guess it ties back to deferred gratification. And one other thing I would say is this idea of why not me? And what I mean by that is my wife and I were walking around in London a couple months ago, and mm-hmm. we're in a really nice part of town looking at these beautiful homes and just thinking, wow, wouldn't it be amazing to have that kind of a life? And it hit me like, well, those houses are there. Somebody has to live in them. Why not me? And we don't live in that right now. But yeah. but what the point the point here is that there shouldn't be too much out of reach for us in our lives if we're willing to put in the work and try and become the right types mm-hmm. of people that can either have certain things or be certain types mm-hmm. of people. So I'd say it's something that I really, really believe in. Like, why not me? If I'm willing to put in the work, why not?
What's the best advice you've ever received?
I've had a lot of advice from a lot of different sources, and I ask for a lot of advice as well. So there's a lot of advice that I draw on. But one of the good bits that I received was at Google. I got onto a team. I was very vocal, very, you know, trying to take the bull by the horns every meeting. I wanted to be the one that was really driving the meeting, making the decisions. And I got some really good feedback from a manager that says, listen, you need to listen first and speak last. Mm. And there's a number of reasons for that. And I won't go into them all, but basically it helped me to become somebody that partnered with the people around me more than just trying to lead them.
Okay.
So I think listen first and speak last was really good. Another thing that I really like is on President Obama's desk, he actually had some plaque that said, hard things are hard. Mm-hmm. And it's so simple, it's so obvious. But a lot of times we want to achieve great things. We want to, you know, we know something's going to be very difficult, and then we're surprised when it actually is, which makes no sense. But I really like to think that, you know, if you want to go for something that's that you know is going to be difficult, just remember when it's when it actually is difficult, it was supposed to be difficult. Yeah. So that's one thing that I, you know, quite like to keep in mind.
And is there any last advice you just want to leave people with, kind of words of wisdom?
Sure. I think going back to the why not me idea, why not you, why not somebody else, right? I think that a lot of times we as people choose to settle very, very quickly, and we aren't necessarily willing, or we don't believe that we could be a better version of ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, I really believe in going all in for something. Mm-hmm. I think every student needs to understand what it is that they want 5, 10, 15 years down the line. And that's hard because a lot of times we're happy, we're busy, we're not really thinking too much about the future. But mm-hmm. I would recommend that every student really think about and consider what it is that they want and then be absolutely all in order to get it. Mm-hmm. There's a great book by Angela Duckworth called Grit, and she gives this really great exercise in the book. It says, what you should do is spend some time and write down the 25 things that you want to accomplish. And then the next day, you should go back to the list and circle the top five of those 25. And then she says, it's really interesting, those top five are the things that you should be focused on, and the other 20 are just distractions. And I think if you really want to go far, you really need to be all in, you're going to have to say no to a lot of other really, really great things. But I think that it helps, if you want to be successful, it really, really helps to know what the most important things in somebody's life are mm-hmm. and try and get rid of the rest.
I've heard of that book.
It's a great book, yeah.
I haven't read it. Thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure.
And for everything you've done for the school. And I know a lot of people are going to learn from your wise words today.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You've been listening to the BYUI Mighty Oak series. Stay tuned for more episodes featuring our alumni.